Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ramble.
Well, welcome to the Tripod, everybody. We are back. Who's that? It's Keith. Who's that? It's...
Oh, you want me to introduce myself?
There he is.
Yeah.
Who's that? It's...
Miles.
Oh.
Who's that girl? It's Jess.
What's that from?
What do you mean, what's that from? New Girl.
I don't watch that show.
Really?
Yeah.
You've never seen it?
No.
It was a good show.
It's good.
Yeah, it didn't... The advertisements didn't appeal to me.
For network, it's so good. It's
here's the thing about comedies. You gotta just go ahead, take that pilot, disregard it, and then you gotta find what episode does it actually find its stride. I find with New Girl, it's the fancy man plot line.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's about midway through season one. Other shows, you know, The Office didn't hit it till season two. You got one good episode in season one. But really, you take that first six, you call it a test, you throw it away. Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
End of season two.
Agreed.
Took a good long time. You basically reboot when Adam Scott came on. Anyway, Keith, what's up?
Not much. Hey, so speaking of Zooey Deschanel, she hosts the celebrity dating game right now, and it couldn't be worse.
What?
I guess it must have followed The Bachelorette when I was watching it, and it would like play through because we recorded it.
Yeah.
We record on YouTube TV. Shout out. Not a sponsor, but they really should be. So we watched it. I watched one episode and she hosts it. And she's probably one of the worst game show hosts I've ever seen. I love her so much.
Wait, that's crazy because she is multi-talented.
Well,
she's fan.
Bad at this. But Michael Bolton is, for whatever reason, her sidekick and musical accompanist.
What a choice.
And he's hilarious because he's basically playing a robot. And he's, but then he just plays.
What do you mean he's playing a robot?
You'd have to watch to understand. He is responding to her like a sidekick, but in a way that it makes no sense and is very robotic and dry, really dry. It couldn't be worse game show hosting, in my opinion. And then the show is also just dating game, but the person who is the dater looking for a match between the other three is an old celebrity. Like Carmen Electra was one.
Sounds fun to me. I don't know.
I thought it was going to be a great time.
You tell me that Zoe's hosting that show. I'm in. Here's the thing, Zoe. We're not just gonna dunk. We're gonna uplift.
Yeah, of course.
We just talked about her on Guilty Pleasure. She's in one of my favorite movies, Trolls. She can rap. Did you know that?
I did.
She's a great.
I watched Trolls.
Yeah, I saw her at a cypher.
I love her. I think she's
a great singer.
I love her in the Christmas, the Elf.
In the Elf one.
Elf, she's
got
great.
Big eyes.
She's so adorable in that movie.
Oh, boy.
Adorable as they come.
She used to be married to Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie. And
really?
That made my little indie heart sing.
And it didn't work out?
It didn't work out. And that made my little indie heart cry.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very fitting for an indie heart.
Is she dating a property brother now?
Yeah, she's married to a property
she's
brother.
She's married to a property brother?
Yeah, she and him no longer.
Well,
she's in a band called She and Him with.
Yeah, but they weren't married.
Oh.
M Ward.
Well, I thought they were married.
No,
she's right.
M Ward is
property
just
is your
I mean,
best
they
investment.
Were pretty much married.
Property's a good investment.
You think so?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's basically the same as all your other investments, except you get to use it.
Yeah.
It's so the Property Brothers are not that, like, we're, you know, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, we're close to them.
Yeah.
You know, they got podcasts. They now are making YouTube content. They're making, they know.
Oh, you just, they're like peers in the space.
They went to Hannah and Ella's wedding.
They
good
did?
Friends of our, yeah.
That's weird.
At least one of them.
That's odd.
They're redoing Rosanna Pansino's back house.
Holy shit.
That's funny.
Are they doing like pickup DIY projects outside of their show?
Yeah,
like,
they're hustling, man.
Yeah,
and they
why?
Got a company. They
TV's
got,
not the best money, man. TV, yeah. Cable TV. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're somewhat syndicated, so they should be doing okay. I gotta get a bug guy to my house. You know why?
Why?
Too many black widows.
Whoa, really? Holy
funny that
shit.
You say that, because my neighbor this morning, the reason I was late is because he, as I was taking my bins out, would not stop talking to me about black widows. And I'm like, Jeff, buddy, I gotta go. Wow.
Yeah, there are black widows native to Southern California, but there's also brown widows native to Southern California. They look very, very similar, with a little more, little less black, a little more brown, and they're not nearly as bad. In fact, they're not venomous at all. It's just like any other spider bite. Problem is, they still look horrifying. But I've killed more than one black widow, male and female,
in your house,
in my yard, okay, and in my garage. They're not in my house.
That's
thank
good.
God.
Yeah,
they don't like being in houses. They like being in wooden cramped spaces. And my garage has wooden, like very simple wooden shelves, mm-hmm, storage shelves. So they've been loving it in there. And I killed a bunch of crickets. We had too many crickets. So many crickets. Like
this
I'm not
is what
talking
Jeff
about
was saying.
I'm not talking about some crickets. I'm talking about I uncovered a cushion and there were 50 crickets. I was like, nope, gotta go. So I sprayed my house myself with cricket and bug spray. And I think all that did when I sprayed my yard is push them all into the garage. They're all like, here's a safe place. Yeah. So now they're in my garage. And I've actually think I don't spray them with bugs.
The black widows hunt the crickets. That's what Jeff was telling me
they
this
do
morning. Yeah. He's like, I got a cricket problem. Do you have a cricket problem? I'm like, I don't have a cricket problem. He's like, well, I got a cricket problem. Mm. Don't mind the crickets, but the crickets bring the black widows. I'm like, ooh, Jeff, I gotta leave.
Yeah, that's what, and then I have the crickets and the black widows. And I have that little patch of grass and trees in my backyard, which is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, spiders love that too.
Oh.
And they love eating all sorts of flying bugs. And we got those. We got lots of crickets that killed all the crickets. Now the black widows are in my garage. And Becky saw one yesterday when we were working out and I had to kill it. And luckily it was a boy. But, you know, seeing a boy isn't any good because it's probably a lady somewhere. Mm-hmm. The ladies are the
how
ones
do you know
that
the
hurt
difference? You see a stick? A
spider
dick?
Yeah, yeah. So I was
dick. Spiders have dicks.
Just packing. No, basically, the black widow you think of. So when you think of a black widow, you think of a pretty bulbous, like she's a fat mm-hmm girl.
Yeah.
So the male has a smaller body, but they both have that red hourglass shake on their stomach. But
she got that rump.
She's huge.
She's got ass.
She round. She
summer
curvy.
Summer buggies, am
she's
I right?
Sensual.
Cake.
Summer buggies.
Have me some blast.
Summer buggies.
They get look at, so fast.
Look at that ass.
Yeah.
Look at that
summer
ass.
Bugs.
Oh, summer bugs.
Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh.
Tell okay me more.
No. But anyway, the real thing on everyone's mind is that I was just in Greece.
Greece. Greek,
which
Greek
is a good segue because
wow,
we're in Greece.
That was good. That yeah, was a good segue.
Yeah, I was in Greece. I had a wonderful
Mama
time.
Mia,
I had a wonderful
right
time. Lots of wonderful, good stories.
Here we
so
go.
So I've got,
good
here's, I'll let you guys play a game.
Yeah.
Which story okay would we like to hear?
Oh, that sounds ooh like a game.
There is, well, it is.
Just a question
to,
right
get
now.
You get to pick.
Okay.
And then the game is, you hear it.
I love when I go to Subway and order a sandwich and they say, sir, what would you like to order today? And I'm like, what a cool game we're
it
playing.
It is kind of a,
such
isn't
a cool
it
game.
Actually, that's kind of the most gamified
that's true
meal at all because yeah you get to change your mind mid-moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you like tap or sparkling today? Oh, you with your games again later.
I mean, yeah.
I don't play games.
That is a game though because sometimes so when I was in Greece, you couldn't get tap water. You could only get still or sparkling. Normally when you say still, it just means it's you're just going to get tap water in America, Mason. It's going to be free.
Yeah.
Not free over
not
there.
Free.
But it's, you know, that's a whole other story, a whole different game, if you ask me.
This is very exciting because we all had the girl who went to Europe in high school who mm-hmm came back is like, when I was in Europe, actually, this happened. And Keith, you never have been to Europe ever. Your first time out of the country was 2 years ago.
Yes.
So we are now getting to experience Keith as the girl mm-hmm who just went to Europe.
Yes.
But as a 32-year-old man.
I'm 34.
34. Well, you don't look
you
a day
thank you
over
so is it the mustache?
Dude, you look good.
Is it the mustache?
Yeah.
basically, the stories you can choose from, we can listen to all of them eventually, but which one's first, is the angry customer at 1:30 in the morning in the Turkish airport.
Ooh,
that sounds good.
Juicy.
The Keith's underwater incident.
Oh.
Okay.
Sounds
pretty,
like he might be drowning.
Pretty salacious.
Involved.
A fairy tale.
Huh. Now, Miles, let's talk these through.
Yeah.
Angry customer at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, At first, I assumed that was Keith, the angry customer. But then he made himself the subject of the second story.
Yeah, so I'm like, I don't think it was him.
So I don't know.
Fairy tale sounds like it might just be a story Keith's writing in a journal or something. Underwater incident sounds like it's salacious,
though. Yeah, I have a feeling, though, that that's going to actually be the least salacious.
Really?
I have a hunch that Keith is going to something minor happened to him that he's left a big emotional impact.
Yeah. Well, he did tell me before we started rolling, he said, I have a story and it's going to be the title of the episode.
Oh, shit.
And I'm now wondering which of these three.
Well, then it's got to be the underwater. Well, so unless, we should save that.
Unless fairy tale.
See how much the fun this game is? See, it's a game. There's strategy. You guys are discussing what move to make. This is a game.
This is a game.
That's like true. A board game.
It, now, again, yeah. though, if I did this to my waiter, they'd be like, you need to pick what you're drinking.
He would just be like, I'll come back.
I think we start with fairy tale and ramp up.
Yeah, I'm down with that plan.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, here's the fun thing. It's spelled F-E-R-R-Y.
Oh.
A fairy tale.
Oh, good title. You good title.
This is actually the underwhelming story. Congratulations.
That's good. We wanted that. Yeah. Get that one out of the way.
Exactly.
So I don't know if you've ever been on a ferry.
Never.
A ferry.
What's that?
So in New York, you know what ferries are. You can take a person ferry. You get on a boat. It takes you to another piece of land, right? But
whoa.
In Greece, and I think in lots of Europe where there's more islands and stuff, you can get on these giant, they're basically cruise ships, but they're just 4 hour to 8 hour ferries. Yeah. Sometimes they're 1 hour ferries, but you drive
your car on.
You're
on a ferry for 4 to 8 hours?
For 4 hours. Oof. Not 4 to 8 hours. 4 hours.
4 hours. A 4 hour ferry. Wow.
4 hour tour. So we get on it, but when you go there, you're basically, you arrive at the port and there are hundreds of people and no one knows where they're going. And there's 8 guys who are Greek and they're screaming in Greek and pointing all everywhere.
Wow.
These are the Greece ports specifically. I'm sure other countries with ports don't necessarily have Greek men, but these ones did. And they're screaming and you're basically being put into lines and you have like your vax card out, you have your passport out, you have your ticket out.
And sorry, so you're going from where to where?
I'm going from Athens to Santorini. And I would take a ferry basically to everywhere this trip because we flew into Athens. We took no planes there. We bought a car. Or not bought a car. We rented a car. We bought a car. Crazy.
Beautiful little
car. Crashed it. Got another car. Crashed it. No, he took. We got a really shitty car. It was hilariously bad. It was just so weak at driving, but it was very fun. But we took the car onto the ferries to the islands.
And I'm thinking of ferries that I've been on in New York. I lied. I have been on a ferry.
I knew you.
And
had.
It's common. You drive your car onto the ferry, but those are like very quick, like a 30 minute shuttle.
Right. Yes.
Those are commuters. This is a 4 hour ferry, no one ever does this.
They have a giant drawbridge sort of door that lowers and they put the cars drive on and the people go on. But it's such a, unless you're on the beginning stop, so like before the boat has left, the boat's there and there's lots of time to get on, it's kind of crazy. Because when a boat shows up to the port, I would say they want in 10 minutes to get every car that's on it off, that's getting off, and every person that's getting off, off, and every new car on, and every new person on in 10 minutes.
That's a lot.
So people are screaming, and they're screaming and pointing, and it feels like you're doing something wrong no matter what you're doing. You get, but we got on the boat, and there are lots of varieties of boats we went on, and some are really nice, and some are like less nice. The best one, we had a server. I was sitting on a couch for the entire 4-hour boat ride, and we had a server. He brought me food. He brought me coffee. It was excellent. It was like luxury. It was amazing.
Do you stay in your car?
So, no. Drive the car on. You get out of the car.
Like a drive-in movie.
Yeah, you leave your car. You abandon your car. The cars are tightly packed in. And then when you're, like, you're leaving, they basically 15 minutes before you leave, they call the drivers down to get in their cars.
Makes sense.
So everyone's in the car. The craziest part of this story is when you get off the boat. So you go, especially we were always taking it to like the end of the line. Because our distance always happened to be that we were always on until the end.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, everyone who's on that boat is getting off the boat. Every car that's on that boat is getting off the boat. So you go down and you're basically in a giant room. And every car is turned on.
Mm-hmm. When are the ferries getting here? You better just put a ferry in this story.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get there. I'm the ferry. No, so you're standing in a mob, and you're sort of like the cars and the people are intermixed, which is not what they want, but it's what's happening. And there's hundreds of you, and then hundreds of cars, and then the drawbridge opens, and these guys are experts. They're literally turning the boat and parking it as the bridge is coming down.
That's crazy.
There's guys on the ground. They hook it up. They tie it together, and then they literally, as soon as it's clear for cars to coming off, they start screaming at the cars to go. They start screaming at the people to get off, and it feels like you are sneaking into another country.
Oh, no.
Because everyone just starts running, and cars are just driving, and then you get off, and people are trying to find their cars if they're not in their car, if the driver got in the car. It is a shit show, and you just have to, in your trip, if you're taking multiple ferries, be like, okay, well, the next hour is going to be total chaos, and then we're going to have 4 hours on the boat, and then it's going to be another 30 minutes of total chaos, and that's just acceptable. It is absolute chaos, and people are kind of like shoving. It is.
How many times did you do this during your trip?
We took 5 ferries.
Whoa.
5 ferries.
Wow. So you experience absolute chaos 10 times.
10 times, yes.
Jesus.
It was like, and by the last time I did it, I was like, yeah, this is normal. This is totally normal. This is crazy, but it's normal. And it was really fun. And I do recommend it as a way to get around because it's much better than the planes in that the island planes are all like very small planes. So high winds affect their takeoff. So you get more fucked up in your travel plans. The ferry is hilarious. And the food on every boat was tremendous, was surprising to me.
Very surprising. Ferries are not known for their food.
But everywhere there has amazing phyllo dough pastries because it's Greece. And phyllo dough is basically puff pastry made with olive oil. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's more than that, but that's the best way I can describe it. And it's where you get like the spanakopita, the spinach pie, the baklava is made with phyllo when it's like that crispy, crunchy pastry. They all have that. Mm. They all have amazing versions of it. Like, I've got better pastries on the boat than some coffee shops.
Wow.
Which was surprising to me. It was great. And the food everywhere all around was great and had so many fun things. Went to a town that like mined just marble. Also, there's stray. If you saw my Instagram, there's stray cats everywhere.
That's so many cats. Wild. I could not believe. Like,
I didn't even post all the cats.
It's unbelievable how many cats are in that country.
Yeah.
Just according to my knowledge of Greece from you exclusively from your Instagram.
Athens had the most.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And they were down
to hear that, feline lovers?
Some were down to be touched. Some were not down to be touched. So a lot of, and Athens was full of kittens specifically.
Oh.
Like about 1-year-old kittens. I don't know if it's because it's harder to live on the streets in Athens and there are just more kittens than cats. But I saw both.
Did you not consider adopting a little Greek kitty?
We actually did.
Because you have a Mexico kitty. You could be like the Angelina Jolie of cats.
I already had this exact discussion with David Dang because we were joking about, because you can rescue the cats in Greece. And there is a charity that helps them get to you.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, that's really cool. How much does it cost? We're like, all the costs are covered. Like the vaccination, the stuff like that, all those things, all that stuff is covered. You just have to cover the plane ticket. I'm like, well, that's obviously the most expensive part.
You have to pay a ticket?
Because a person has to bring the cat.
Oh, they can't put it in the under. Well, I guess you're not supposed to put animals under anyway.
You've got to fly a person with the cat to and from you.
You can't. You were there though already.
Because we didn't realize this till the day before, and we're like, "Well, there's no way we can change our tickets to be okay with cats all over the place." And like, And we just also, we had an 8-hour layover in the Turkish airport, and having a cat would have been chaos because I don't know what we would have done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But all the cats did inspire us to maybe look for a friend for Alfred. We're looking at least fostering another cat for a while. And our fostering dogs video just went out recently.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when this episode comes out. So the fostering dogs, when we did that, I was like, oh, it's so cool to learn that you can foster for just a weekend. Mm-hmm. Or you can foster for shorter amounts of time. So I'm like, oh, that's a really great thing to do. I would be happy to foster cats for shorter amounts of time to see if they got along with Alfred, got along with our lifestyle. And if one did, maybe we would keep that cat.
With your lifestyle.
Yeah, you know. Well, I mean that like Alfred doesn't jump on the counters.
Oh, that's good.
I've never had a cat not do that. And no, I'm like,
he loves his spots and stays to it.
Yeah.
He's a very agreeable kitty cat. Mm-hmm. We had a cycle of watchers while mm-hmm. Keith was in Greece. So we took a shift mm-hmm. of babysitting Alfred, feeding him, changing the poo-poo. We brought Bowie over to see, because Bowie, he's very weird out by cats. He's weird out by anyone that makes eye contact. So squirrels, he's like, bro, you want to fucking go? Like, he just doesn't, like, and if a dog doesn't pay attention to him, he's chill. But if a dog makes eye contact, he's like, what is going on? So Alfred just is, like, chilling. And we had seen Alfred has met Emma and uh-huh. Kimbop and Pesto, yeah. Eugene's mm-hmm. dogs. So we brought him over, and we just made Bowie sit near him. We didn't let him get close. The closest I let him get was I took Alfred's blanket and I put on the ground and let him just have a sniff fest. That was after like 30 minutes of hanging out. He just like got to just enjoy all those. He put his nose in there and went,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. This is wild.
What is this animal?
Stuff right there.
Roar, roar, roar.
Yeah.
But it's so hard for an excitable boy like him. Because Alfred, and fucking bless his heart, he just sat on the couch and was like, who's this guy? And then Bowie just would sit and like he tried to sit and then he would get up and then he would sit again and go because he's so excited. He's like, what is this thing? Let me go. But we're like, nah, bro, you gotta sit there. And then Bowie got like a little too close one time and Alfred just got up. He's like, I'm gonna go sit on the ledge of the couch, thank you. And it was funny, the best is I extended my arms from side to side and I was petting both of them at the same time.
Ooh, that's good.
And Alfred was purring and Bowie was like and I'm like, look, I'm loving both of you. Isn't this nice?
I bet that was nice.
It was nice.
Yeah. That was nice.
I want a cat, but Maggie thinks we can do it, but I'm like, I just, Bowie will terrorize this cat.
Maybe
we're working
2 years,
our way up.
Too. Like when Bowie, as animals get older, they get a little chiller.
Yeah.
So like, sure. I think eventually you'll have a cat.
I too want a cat. I find that it'll be much less work than a dog.
Uh-huh. It is.
Significantly.
Bro, it is.
Here's the thing, though, now is that because we have the work of a dog,
yeah,
the work of a cat is a totally different,
it's different.
Cycle.
It's different.
You have to open different foods. Yeah. You got to feed and then like cleaning the poop and then going on the walk. I'm just like,
box.
I don't want more of a different type of responsibility, even though it's a slight one.
Yeah.
Plus, cats, the dogs will try to eat the cat poop out of a litter box.
Really?
Yeah. Some.
Some do.
Mm.
To continue a pause in your Grease story, I touched Miles's dog's balls.
That's right. Sarah told me, she said, I ran into Zach and Maggie and
we were driving and she fully stopped traffic.
Yeah.
Stopped her car in the middle of the road.
That's Sarah.
And said, hey guys. And we're like, oh, hey. Yeah. Car's behind her.
Honking.
And we're like, maybe pull over. Come over here.
That's
not her
style.
We hung out on the side of the road for a little bit. That was fun.
It's not her style.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But I met your dog.
My dog got a haircut, and Zach touched his balls because they're sort of bare balls.
On accident?
No, well, really on purpose.
Yeah, very intentionally.
It sounds like, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can tell it. I wasn't even there. I just heard, Zach touched his balls.
I love that that detail got back.
Yeah, it got back immediately. And then I texted you.
What was it? I just want to hear, like, how did she tell it?
She was like, well, Birdie got a haircut and Zach touched his balls. She wasn't alarmed by it.
Why?
Yeah.
Why did she say it?
She said because you were fascinated by them.
Yeah, I was.
And I would say Birdie's balls look like human balls.
So here is the context. Birdie got a full haircut, which you, I heard, were not happy about.
No, it's okay. I mean, he's a dog with a lot of hair, so like he has to get haircuts often, and he now looks pretty silly because his body hair is longer than his leg hair.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, like when dogs... I don't mean to say that your dog looks pathetic, but like
he looks pathetic.
But there's that thing where like their legs are just like so wimpy, and then they still have their face like they look like naked and like
he looks
like,
crazy,
like violated,
silly.
And he'll look normal in a week or two, but he looks crazy right now.
Yeah, and then I'm like looking at the back of his butt, and there's like this pink knob, and Sarah then just starts talking like, oh yeah, those are his balls. We haven't gotten him neutered yet. And like, because he got shaved, you can really see him.
You can really tell.
And I had never really seen dog balls like that.
Well, and for some context, for bigger balls on bigger dogs, you have to wait a little to neuter them because it affects their growth. For smaller dogs, you can neuter them pretty quickly.
I think it affects their like their bones.
It affects their bone density stuff.
Yeah. If you neuter dogs.
Yeah. Their boning density.
Their boning
density. Yeah. All right.
So we have to wait till he's like a little bit over a year, year and a half.
But this is a big thing with dog owners. There's this like, when do you neuter your dog? Because if you do it too early, it's gonna fuck up their growth, and it can increase the chance of hip dysplasia, I think, which is super traumatizing later in life. But if you wait too long, and they're seeing other dogs get super aggressive because they can smell it, and they're like, "What the fuck?" So neuter dogs will get really mean.
Yeah.
So like, we waited as long as we could with Bowie, but then we're like, "Okay, we gotta
do
these
it. We're gonna do it
off.
Soon too. He's he's almost to the point where he.
Anyhow, he's got a full human nut sack.
Fat sack. Yeah.
Not as wrinkly as the normal human sack. No. I'd say it's a very smooth looking. Human balls.
If you did a side by side of my balls, Birdie's balls, I don't know that I would be able to pick them out.
This is an inappropriate conversation now.
It's it's unbelievable.
Now you're suggesting we do this.
Well, I mean,
that's not not the game I signed up for.
That's a game of sorts.
Well, what if we all take a photo lineup so that we don't know whose is whose?
I would say a classic BuzzFeed video could have been dog ball or human balls. You know, like it was close up pictures and you had to guess.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I just wanted to know.
Yeah, I get that. So a funny thing related to that just is that a lot of...
Really?
The stray cats, some of them had balls, and you really rarely see cat balls, and David Dang had never seen a pair of cat balls. And
they hang closer to the body.
Yes. Yeah. But it was so funny because David Dang, on this trip, saw cat balls for the first time and also saw the Milky Way for the first time, and I like to think those were equally important experiences. They happened like within a day of each other.
Yeah.
But yeah, and there were some islands dark enough where you could see the Milky Way, which is always beautiful. I mean, it was not as strong as I've seen at other places, but you could make it out.
Well, enough about those nut sacks that I touched, plural nut sacks that I touched. Back to Greece.
I think,
Miles, what story would we like to hear?
Like to hear an underwater crime.
Okay. It was underwater incident.
Oh.
Is this the title?
No.
Yes.
No. It will be the title. Phrasing won't be the title. But yes, this is the titular story.
Okay, this is it.
Podcast listeners, you've made it to the titular story.
We want to do this one now. We're okay with the other one being the finale.
I think, given it in the middle, people usually tune out around the 20-minute mark.
Okay. Well, but see, the title's gonna. They already
especially
know
after that ball story.
They already know.
Yeah.
They already know the punchline of the story. They because that's how we'll phrase it in the title, I'm sure.
Oh, good.
But let's get into it. Okay, so we did lots of water sports on our trip, including the jet ski tour that I was terrified of.
Yes.
Which, how did it go?
It was terrifying, but very, very fun. But my biggest critique is that it was a jet ski sightseeing tour, and there was no chance I could ever look to my right and enjoy the beautiful scenery when you're traveling 30 kilometers per hour on like 4-foot waves because it was very choppy, and we were flying.
Right. Yeah.
It was chaos. It was pure chaos. My hands and wrists hurt a lot, but... overall, I had a good time. And we went swimming. And the waters around islands of Greece are just so crystal clear. Like, you can look down, you can see like 40 feet. You can see basically as deep as it is because it's just so clear.
Warm water or what tempy?
It's not cold. It's not hot. It's like very comfortable. But, you know,
just right.
Nice. It's just right. It's just a little cool. It was really nice. But so we swam in Santorini on the jet ski tour. We swam in Naxos on our beaches. And then we went to Kefalonia for the wedding. Now, the day after the wedding, there's a big beach day. We drove up this windy mountain cliff all the way to the other side of the island. And then as we were coming down, it was the most beautiful beach I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was unbelievable. It's hard to describe how beautiful it was because even from the mountaintop, you could look down and you could see all the boulders just in the water. Yeah. So like, as you went out, there were just rocks and there were just big rocks and you could see them very clearly. And the water was so clear and so crystal blue. Mm. And then the beach itself was like this smooth pebble beach and it was gorgeous. And all these rocks are beautifully polished and they're just gorgeous and everything about it was beautiful. And we're there and it's after the wedding. So, you know, Katie LeBlanc and Ricky, her husband, are there and other people we know there, Andrew and Thespia are there. So it's like really fun because you're like with people that you know in this place that you've never been. And they had... it was like so clear, and I was like, my only regret is that before all the other cleanser and clear water, I didn't have any goggles, so I couldn't like swim underwater or like snorkel or anything.
Yeah, I can't open my eyes underwater.
So, especially it's very salty. So, I was like, it's a bummer. But then Katie and Ricky were like, we have swim masks. I'm like, that's awesome.
Wait,
I'm
gonna swim
mask? Just like the masks that cover your eyes and nose. They're normally called swim masks or snorkel masks because they're used typically with a snorkel and they're not the professional swimmer type goggles. So anyway, they had those and those are my favorite. They make you look like a duck. I love them. and I've always loved them. So I'm like, okay, I start swimming and I'm swimming around. I'm looking at stuff. I follow a school of fish. And there's only this one fish. There's no other cool life other than like how beautiful the rocks are underwater and just how beautiful it is because it's so deep and crystal clear and wonderful. So I'm like swimming around, I'm doing flips. I tried doing some of the stuff we learned in synchronized swimming, still can't do it. I was like, maybe I can do it now, there's more water. No, impossible. So we're swimming around and then I'm sort of like, David and I are swimming pretty far out into the water, having a great time. And Thespi had said, when we were kids, because she grew up in this island, we would come to this beach and we'd go out near the buoys. And we would like dive down as deep as we could and like you try to touch something and come back up. I'm like, that sounds fun. David, let's go do that. God. So we are...
Where is this going,
Miles? I'm so curious.
We are swimming out and then I see on the ground there's like a sparkly thing. It's like a bottle cap. I'm like, that's something fun to go try to get because it's like a bottle cap or maybe it's a coin. I can't tell at this point. So I mentioned to David and I had learned earlier in this trip how to swim deeper. And it's to get rid of all the air in your mouth and your body, right? So when you when normally you go...
That seems ill-advised.
I'm terrified.
Well, so you normally go, and you start to swim deep. Uh-huh. But by doing that, you filled your body up with a lot of air, right? Mm-hmm. So now you're more buoyant. So we've learned... like
And
actually
you can also breathe longer. Well,
yes, of course. But we're not I'm not trying to stay underwater for a long time. So we do that. But then basically we go... So you take a good breath and then you swim down. So like you've given yourself oxygen, but you're not holding your breath.
No world am I doing that.
So you know when you're going into space, take your oxygen tank, throw it away.
It's just because I wanted to go deeper. And I knew that when I was swimming with a full chest of air, I couldn't swim deeper.
Okay.
Yeah. So I knew I was only going to stay under for like 15 seconds. I'm like, that's fine. I won't die. And I didn't die.
You got it.
But what happened next was... so terrifying and so not my favorite thing to ever happen. I'm starting to swim deep and you know, your head gets pressure, your ears have pressure. Mm-hmm. And then my right eardrum breaks.
What do you mean?
Water rushes into my head.
What?
I can hear this horrific sound. It's kind of like a crunch. It's kind of like,
God.
Followed by a swish of water. And I immediately know, oh no. At this point, I didn't know what happened, but I knew like something's wrong. This is not good. This is not how things are supposed to sound.
Well, I've never experienced your eardrum.
Were you upside down? Like, was it like?
Yes, okay. I'm upside down, swimming down.
Yeah.
And you know, this is for the YouTube watchers. There's a visual for you. Your eardrum is like this. And we have learned in earwax video that I have flaccid eardrums.
Yes.
That means I have thinner eardrums than average. Which means when I swim underwater, like the pressure hurts a little more. But I had been swimming underwater for a week and a half at this point.
Right.
Even when I had my eyes clothes, I would sometimes swim down and like swim upside down. And we had like a mask on one of the jet ski things and I was swimming upside down.
Yeah.
No big deal. But this time it was a big deal because the amount of pressure on my ear was too great for my eardrum. And the water rushed into my ear and ruptured it. And it sounds horrific. It sounds absolutely horrific. I immediately swim up and I'm like, this is bad. This is not good.
Now, and I imagine you breach the water and you're going, oh, no.
No, I'm like, I'm not making any sound other than like, because I'm basically coming up to see, and the world sounds wrong. But it sounds wrong. And also, your ears, the liquid in your ear regulates your balance.
Oh,
so
oh my
I'm
God.
Immediately wildly disoriented. So I swim to the top and I'm like, okay, Keith, you got to get back to the beach. But as I said, David and I had swam all the way out to the buoys where it was the deepest part of the.
God.
So I swim all the way back and I'm also like basically doggy paddling because I'm trying not to get any more water in my ear. So I'm swimming all the way back and I get to the beach.
Is this like a 5 minute
It's swim? About a 2 minute swim.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because I have to go very slow, and I get, and Becky is like in the water, and everybody's having a wonderful time, and I'm like, Becky, something's wrong, and she's like, what? And I was like, my ear, something's wrong, and I was like, do we need to go up? I'm like, and I'm like, it's very hard for me to like focus because my balance is all whack, and then I go to like pop my ears because I'm like, well, maybe this will help, and my left ear pops normally, and my right ear. Air and water escape out of my ear because I have now connected my sinuses to the outside world through my ear.
God.
So like if I go like, if I, even right now, if I try to pop my ears, air comes out of my ear.
That's a cool party trick.
It's a pretty cool party trick. So
if you put a match next to your ear,
I don't know how strong it is.
Blow it out.
Well, no, now because it's like, it heals actually anywhere from a week to 3 weeks. So it's already healed up pretty well. Because another great thing about Greece is that they have universal healthcare. So I went to the pharmacist and I got antibiotic ear drops without even going to a doctor. And my ear drops were $2.
Wow.
And I was just given to them and they told me how to use them and what to do. And it was great.
So, yeah, but how are we going to maximize profits for our pharmaceutical companies if we do that?
Right?
That kind of sounds fucked up.
I used those ear drops for the next few days. But like the 30 minutes to an hour after it happened, I was basically lying on the beach with my ear that was the injured ear down to get all the water out. I also I blew air through it a couple more times because I could feel it helping the water in my ear escape. And even though I would later read, don't do that, I think it was good that I did that only because getting all that water out helped lower the chance of infection for my ear.
Right.
But like, you know, when you're super drunk and you have the spins?
Yeah.
I had that.
Oh.
For how long?
God.
About half an hour. And but it was like crazy because instead of, I'm not like looking at my ceiling in bed like most drunk people with the spins are, I'm looking at the most beautiful beach and mountain and it is just flying in a circle.
Oh,
it is just like
God.
So fast and so out of control. And like everyone's like, you know, people are looking on their phone like what to do because they're like, is it this? And I immediately, as soon as I hear the first thing they describe, I'm like, yeah, that's what it is. It's a ruptured eardrum. So it's also sometimes if you do it with a Q-tip, it's called a punctured eardrum.
Yeah.
But when it's done through pressure, it's called a ruptured eardrum.
It ain't funny no more.
No, I know. But that's why.
Real.
But the title will probably be like how Keith broke his eardrum.
Yeah, Jesus.
Or split his eardrum open.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. And then, you know, about an hour in, I was like, okay, my ear hurts and my head hurts. I took some Tylenol because we had some or someone on the beach had some. And after that first hour, when I stopped being disoriented, I was like, well, this sucks. And mostly I'm just sad about it. But I can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
So I might as well just get over it. And I was very me like mind over mind. I'd be like, I just got to get over it because we're going to be at this beach for another 4 hours because that was the day. That's the plan for the day.
Yeah, right.
So if I don't get over it, I'm just going to be miserable. So I have to figure out what I can do to still have fun with the rest of this day.
Get attitude.
And I went on a walk and, you know, picked up some pretty rocks. And then I came back and I was like hungry and we went to the beachside restaurant and I had the best octopus I've ever eaten in my entire life. Like it was so unbelievably delicious that I told everyone else to get it and they also got it and they were like, and Adam Bianchi's like, yeah, that's the best octopus I've ever had in my whole life. And he's on Worth
that's
It.
Saying
so
something.
He's had
he
food.
Knows shit.
And it was so good. And then I still like waded in the water. I just never got anywhere deeper than like my waist because I didn't want to. They were like, don't get anything else in your ear. That's like the number one thing it says, like no more goes in your ear.
Right,
nothing goes in your ear. You don't pop your ear. You don't do anything. Only thing it even says like, not always should you even put the antibiotic eardrops in your ear. Mm-hmm. But I basically knew, because I used to get ear infections all the time as a kid because of my flaccid eardrums, that I would just wait until my ears started hurting before I started using them. But they started hurting like the next day. So I started using eardrops. And then one of the times I put too many eardrops in, and that was equally upsetting. Because the way that you get eardrops here is you get like a little tincture.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to measure them out. This is almost like a contact lens solution bottle.
Squirting. Yes. Just like a full.
It's so impossible to get a single drop out and not like a stream of liquid. Oh. And one of the times Becky, bless her heart, accidentally put too much in. And I was trying to be like, oh, there's too much in. Next time, just try not to do that and not sound unappreciative, because she's obviously helping me. But I also like... it was like a train running into my brain.
Oh, God.
It was so painful and again, and re-disorienting. And it was like, and we had been out and had some drinks. And I was like, oh, before we have any more, I need to put my eardrops in.
Yeah.
And that made me almost like more drunk. And
yeah.
It made me very confused and sluggish for the next like hour. And I was then Googling like, can you overdose on antibiotic eardrops? And it basically is just like, if you do too many eardrops, flush it out with water. I'm like, no,
it's gonna hurt. Like
I can't
hell.
Do that.
Yeah.
So I just had to get over it.
I want to rewrite the end of the story. If this were a Pixar short of or something, Keith is on the beach. He's bummed. David's looking at him. This is all no dialogue. Uh-huh. Yeah, of course. And then David, dun, 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 dun. He looks to Keith. He looks back to the water. He zhuzhes up his sleeves.
Yes, coin.
And he wades out into the water. He swims down. Take one. Not enough. Take two. Not enough. He looks to Keith. What am I going to do? He exhales entirely.
Yeah.
He realizes that is the ticket. He gets down to the bottom. He gets the coin. He swims back up to the top. He brings it to Keith. It's a gold doubloon, and it's enough to buy octopus for everyone. Yeah.
Wow.
David's a hero.
Yeah.
It was fun. And it was the worst day of the trip, and it was still a wonderful time.
Of course.
I also woke up that morning with a giant bee sting on my thigh because a bee had somehow gotten in our bed, and I rolled over on it in my sleep, and it's still there. But luckily, it stung me and not Becky, because Becky's allergic to bees.
Oh, God. Yeah, that would be horrible.
You so, got stung by a bee in your sleep.
Did you wake up?
Didn't wake up. I woke up the next morning.
That might be a title right there.
Right?
He got stung by a bee in bed? I mean, that's...
And I also, like... didn't even notice it. I was like showering, and then I looked in the mirror and I was like, what the fuck's on my fucking leg? It was like a big old welt. I'm like, this is weird. I thought it was like a pimple or an ingrown hair or something. So I was like, how'd that get there?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
I grabbed it, and I was like, it doesn't even hurt. What's the deal with this? And then Becky's like, well, let me see it. And she's like, oh, I think it's a pimple too. So Becky loves to pop pimples. So she tried to pop it. And as soon as she squeezed it, it was like a train running into my leg. It was agonizingly painful. I'm like, oh God, stop.
Lots of trains running through your body.
Really, really rough. And didn't ride a single train while I was there.
Yeah.
but like, and then we looked it up, and it's like, don't squeeze bee stings or spider bites.
Wait, but how did you discern that it was a bee sting?
Found a bee.
That would do it.
Yeah, and I didn't realize. I thought it was a spider bite because I had killed a spider the day before, and I thought it was out for vengeance. But when we were packing up and I was moving stuff off the bed, I like pulled the sheet off, and there was a dead bee. And I was like, you.
That's the fucker.
You did this to me.
That's weird too, because it must have been very early in the morning.
It's almost gone. It was pretty gross for a little while because it was a big old bee sting. But all the bees in Greece are not—they're not bad, and the spiders are also not bad.
Don't think I've been stung by a bee since I was on a slide.
I also the day before I was like, no one gets stung by bees.
Yeah,
there were bees all over the place, like flying in my face. Like, I'm not bothered by it because they really don't want to sting you.
Why is it that kids get stung by bees all the time? Are they just like philandering in places where bees are hanging
through fields as much?
And they're clumsy, right?
Yeah.
I have body awareness.
They run and fall in the grass, and they fall on bees. I feel like is mostly what they do.
But I guess I'm by wasps more than bees.
Oh, wasps are dicks.
Dick, total dicks.
They're aggressive
out here. Really?
There were some.
When's the last time you guys have not as an adult man been stung by wasps?
Literally, I'm thinking. I think it was when I was visiting home for like Christmas 1 year, or maybe 2 years ago.
As an adult,
yeah. But it was only on the East Coast, not out here. Really,
there's not.
And what did you do? Was it your fault?
There are some.
I think I stepped on it or something.
Well, that's your fault.
It hurt, and then it was like fine. You know what I mean? Like,
we had a lot of bees by my house in springtime. There was a a beautiful tree that they loved pollinating. They were just humping the fuck out of those. And then the little flowers would fall to the ground, and then they would just be humping the flowers on the ground. Mm-hmm. And Bowie stepped on a bee once.
Aww.
But it didn't sting him. He just got freaked out.
He got surprised.
He just got
scared
spooked.
By a bee.
Yeah, luckily, you know, that was my worst day. You know, waking up with a bee sting and then and going to bed with a broken eardrum is pretty rough.
Wait, that was all in one day?
It was all in one day.
That's no.
Crazy. How deep? I'm trying to fathom how the pressure, were you so deep or was it just like over and over?
I don't know. I think I was only like 12 feet deep, but it was, and that's why I was like so shocked when it happened.
Wow.
It was pretty wild. I would not recommend that. I wouldn't recommend you rupturing your eardrum underwater. It's pretty intense.
A question. Are we sure we don't want to call this episode Keith, Grease Ran Train on Keith Twice in One Day?
Oh, that is hot. Mm. Grease Ran Train. Raw dog. I think Keith got injured on vacation. Some sort of iteration of...
Eardrum is pretty
hot.
Intense.
That is true.
Like, it's a rare injury. And
Keith
it's like a
split.
Delicate... It's a delicate thing. Yeah. I was actually surprised to find that like, it will heal itself in 3 weeks as long as it doesn't become super infected. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought it would be like, oh shit. And that's also, I think, on top of the disorientation, I was a little bit traumatized and in a panic because I was like, if I fucked up my...
This is it.
Am I going to be like partially deaf now because of this mistake?
And you're a musician.
And I'm a musician. And like even now, if I like, you know, listen with one ear or the other, this is about an 80% on my right ear right now and 100% on my left ear.
Wow.
Very normal. But and the weirdest thing though, is you know when you like put your finger against your ear and you close it off, you'll feel like a pressure because you're creating a vacuum in your ear.
Yeah.
Well, this ear has that. This ear doesn't.
Oh, weird.
Because there's no vacuum because there's a hole in my eardrum.
Yeah.
So like the air right now connects from my ear to my nose.
We should try the match trick.
It's really advised not to.
It probably hurt
though, because it will prevent it from healing.
Well, you should have done it when it first happened.
Definitely should.
It would have been, you know how many views you would have gotten on the Tiki Talk.
You know what's crazy is trying to pop my ears and feeling water and air rush out of my ear. It was
because the whole reason water gets stuck in your ears because there's no, it's a vacuum. So if there's not, you're just fucking.
So they just poured it right out. Just blew it out.
That's crazy. Oh man, Keith broke his ear in Greece. Keith got attacked by bees in bed.
The audience
shattered.
The audience now is just hearing the alternate titles.
Yeah, exactly.
They know what we chose.
They know.
Attacked by bees in bed, man. That's a universal fear.
That's a fear.
Keith's dick smothered by bees in bed.
Well, that never happened.
Well, but people don't, you know.
That's true.
The brands are going to love it.
Yeah. The CDC will be thrilled. But speaking of the CDC, we did follow all the things they recommended we do. We had to take a test to come back into America.
Yeah.
We stayed isolated for the 3 days we got back. We took a normal test yesterday that I haven't gotten the results for, but I also took a quick test today that I got the results for, and they were negative. Mm-hmm. So it took both kinds of tests to be double sure. Also had a negative test before we even flew back. Also were obviously vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And we wore masks anytime we were in a dense public area, inside or outside, because there were a lot of tourists and a lot of irresponsible tourists out there, which sucks. But like there's, you know, it's Europe. So there's occasionally you're in like very old, small alleys of businesses. Mm-hmm. And like, there's just, you know, I'm passing 100 people every
it's good
2 to 3 minutes. So I'm going to put that mask on.
Yeah.
I wish everyone else would, but they don't. So
Okay,
I'm only in charge of myself, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, if you, and now, you know, you all know this, but Pfizer has been FDA approved. You should get that vaccine. If for some reason you haven't, and there's no medical reason that stops you from doing it, obviously it's good to get it. I know that you can still get it when you are vaccinated, but the percentages are so much lower. The hospitalizations are so much lower. It is still such a better thing to do. Just think of it like, you could drive without a driver's license, but you would suck at driving and you'd endanger everyone around you. We all have driver's licenses, not
or
just seat for belt ourselves.
Seatbelt is the metaphor I've seen, right?
I was like, thinking even now, a driver's license is a great way to do it, right? Because like you can technically drive a car without a license, but you're endangering yourself and everyone else.
Right, because
you
haven't...
A seatbelt doesn't really endanger everyone else as much as it endangers yourself, but the driver's license does. And we all have agreed we're all going to have driver's licenses. We're all going to know basic rules of how to do this. And by doing that, everyone is safer on the road. Now, surely there are still accidents, but there'd be way more accidents if no one had a driver's license.
Yeah, or if it was just free for all.
Or even if half had driver's licenses, you know?
I think I also saw someone, it's funny, there's all these driving metaphors. Someone tweeted stoplights. It's like, well, sometimes other people run the stoplights, so I'm just going to ignore them altogether. It's like, no. Still,
yeah.
Still pay attention to them. I'm actually going in for my third shot.
Yeah, baby.
I did hear, I think they're going to be approving boosters for everyone come fall, but for immunosuppressed, immunocompromised people, they are recommending a third shot, so going to get that.
That's great.
You're Pfizer.
I'm Moderna.
Oh, you're Moderna. And are you getting a Moderna third shot?
Yeah, they recommend that you stay with what you had.
You can't candy flip where you get a couple Modernas, get a couple.
Candy flip is a very funny expression for it.
I believe you, in theory, could, but they recommend you don't.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I think like scientifically, don't take my word for it.
But
yeah,
just
stick with what you took the first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's probably the right way to go.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was the most traumatizing part of my trip. But even then, it was still fine. And I think it was a good life lesson of like, sometimes shit sucks and you just have to get the whatever is the best version of the rest of your day, try to take it. And it was a good thing for me.
I'm going to give you a big old juicy compliment. I know a lot. I'm thinking of basically every friend of ours, most of them. Coin flip. We're just going to flip a coin 50-50 would ruin the day for themselves and everyone else around them.
For sure. That is brave, by the way.
You are one of the few people that would not. And so kudos to you for finding positive and not making the day awful for everyone.
Yeah, that's huge. That's really awesome.
I felt guilty. You know how when you do something stupid, you feel guilty?
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was my fault. And it was my fault, but there was no way I would have known that would have happened. I was the only one who decided I would swim deep. But it was just like, it was an accident.
Yeah, it's an accident.
And I felt really stupid. And
it's not your fault.
Swimming deep is, you know.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
And it's what
normal.
You do when you have deep water. You swim in it.
You didn't swim deeper than you're capable of swimming.
Right.
So I wouldn't have thought that
I
was capable.
Yeah, and you have to be resuscitated.
It's nowhere in my brain that I am capable of swimming deep enough to injure my ear from pressure.
Yeah,
right.
I just didn't think that would happen. But it was still a traumatizing experience when it happened.
Story number three.
Okay, so we, our return flight was from Athens.
Angry customer at 1:30
in the morning.
Narrated by Keith Habersberger. Written by the island of Greece.
No, this is actually written by Istanbul.
Oh.
So we flew from Athens in Istanbul, and we had a flight from like 8 to 10:30 at night, but then our flight out of Istanbul was 8 a.m. in the morning. So we had to go... what's good is that to come back into America...
And this is Istanbul, not Constantinople?
Yeah, it was Istanbul, and then Constantinople, but a long time gone.
Okay. Even old New York was once New Amsterdam, you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, why did I change it? I can't say. Anyway... we're in the airport. I know. We're in the airport. And we finally go through like the customs again because you have to do it to go back to America because they're just being doubly sure that you're not sneaking stuff in or like coming in unvaccinated or untested. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we get all the way through it. There's a hotel in the airport called Yotel, which is just so funny.
I've seen a Yotel before.
Yeah. And it was fine, for in a hotel thing that you could do on the other side of customs, like you can do it. There's Yotel Air and Yotel Land.
Yotel!
Yeah.
Yotel.
So we got a room there just because we thought, well, let's get a place so we're not just stranded in the middle of the airport. It wasn't too expensive to get a hotel room. And we thought, like, maybe we'll sleep. And then as we were there, we realized, well, actually, we should sleep as little as possible here because we need to start resetting ourselves for American time. Mm-hmm. So we're like, if we can stay up until like 3 in the morning, then we'll sleep for like 3 hours. We'll get on the plane and sleep 4 hours and stay up the rest of the flight, land at noon, and we'll be closer to getting reset. So we decide at midnight 30 that we're hungry. So let's go back into the airport. And we looked up and it said there was a Popeyes, but it also said it was closed. And I was like, well, let's go see. We go see and there is a Popeyes. It's open. And there's other stuff that's open. But then we look down and there's a Shake Shack. And it's open. We're like, fuck this. Shake Shack's obviously going to be the best thing because it's just like, it's the best. We love it. So we go down. We go to Shake Shack.
So even in the Istanbul airport,
actually
kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
No.
I mean, there were other things too, but it was 1:30 in the morning. So only the fast food was open.
Yeah.
All the better things were closed.
Mm-hmm.
So we go and I order what I always would get. Becky and I both get the chicken sandwich. We get some fries and we're having a great time. But then I realized that I had left. our boarding passes in the room because we're going to go up to the lounge and get some beers because the lounge that we had beers. And so, okay, but so I ran back. And when I come back, Becky is sort of sitting silently staring wide-eyed and there's like, what's happening? And then I look beyond her and there's a man and he's upset. And this man is very funny because he's dressed fairly nice, except the crotch of his pants seems somewhat ripped out.
The titular role.
Oh. And but he's wearing a fancy hat. And if you're wearing a fancy hat in an airport, it's just such a choice, I think. And it was
especially at 1 in the morning?
It's 1:30 at this point.
The crotch of his pants. Explain on that.
I never saw this, but Becky said the crotch of his pants were ripped.
Oh.
She always includes that detail in the story, so I thought it was necessary.
Yeah, I think
ripped
it's
crotch, fancy hat, 1:30 in the morning.
Is saying,
titular role.
I come in and I hear him screaming, this is not a chicken shack. I bought a chicken shack and this chicken is too small. This is not a chicken shack. I don't want this. I want something else. And he's being a total dick, but he was right. The chicken shack chicken patty at this place was not the size of the American, or perhaps where he's from, Mexico, which is what he exclaimed, is not the same size.
Fucking Istanbul.
It's a different
chicken. It's a different thing.
It's from a different food supplier. Of course it is. It's in another fucking part of the world,
dude. Of course.
And also, to make matters worse, it was cheaper than the normal chicken shack. So actually, it was a quite fair exchange.
There you go.
It boiled down to be a $4 chicken shack, and the chicken shack's like $6.50.
Also, it was so delicious. It ripped a hole through his dick.
Yeah, right, exactly.
His dick had a boner so big.
But he screams like, this is not a chicken shack. I've had a chicken shack. He pulls up his phone and shows a picture of a chicken shack that he's taken of himself, I assume, earlier. Shows it to the lady, and she says, I agree. That's not what this looks like. But this is the only chicken shack we make.
Yeah.
It's not like I've decided to give you a shitty one.
Of course.
This is, for her knowledge, that's a chicken shack. She's only ever worked at this Shake Shack. She's only ever had this Shake Shack, I assume. This is a chicken shack. That is the size of a burger. Everything they make is exactly what is correct because that is what they make.
Yeah.
But he's screaming, and then at one point he screams, I eat this every day.
Wow.
This is not a chicken shack. I understand if you can't give me the chicken shack I want. Instead, I would like a double cheeseburger and I'll pay the difference, but I won't repurchase a whole new double cheeseburger. I want you to take this sandwich back. That's not right. And I want to use the money I paid on this sandwich toward a double burger, which is not the craziest ask in the world. But at this point, he had been such a dick that the employees decide they aren't going to serve him at all.
Hell yeah.
Which is the right move. They're like, no, dude, leave. And he's like, what? And he's like, leave. Yeah. I'm not going to give you a burger unless you want to, if you want to buy a burger for full price, you can do that. But I'm not going to figure out how I'm supposed to report to my boss how you returned a sandwich and I sold a burger then for 80 cents or whatever it would be. So he's like, fuck off. And then he starts filming them on his phone. He pulls out his, and he does it in the classic, like, person who thinks this is going to make them a hero. He goes like, okay then. Pulls out his phone like it's a deadly weapon and starts filming, say, this is the Shake Shack guy. He won't sell me a burger. And I ordered a chicken shack that's not a chicken shack. And he won't give this to me. And then it's so bizarre.
I want it to go viral, but only for everyone being like, look at this fucking fancy hat dork.
I don't even know if he posted it. Because by the end, it seemed he left and he was defeated because he took his chicken shack with him and said, fine, you know what? Forget it. Fine. Forget it. Fuck you. And he took the chicken shack and he took it out of sight where I assume he ate it.
Yeah.
And dealt with it and was fine. But it was so intense. And it was like, it's like, dude, it's like 1:30 in the morning.
What?
These poor people. And like, there's other people around and all of us were just like, what's going on?
This is crazy.
This is a big reaction for a sandwich that's like 20% smaller than you're expecting, but also was like 30% less than you normally pay. So I feel like we're like, that's fine. It's totally understandable. It's like, I felt like we paid for the exact same amount of chicken
that
we normally get. It tasted great.
Of course.
It tastes exactly the same. Yeah. It just was smaller. That's it. It was not a big deal. The funniest part, actually, of that is that when we bought it, it was in Turkish currency. So when she said, like, okay, that'll be it was like $120. I was like, huh? And then I looked down, I was like, and then I saw it did the breakdown of Euro, US, and it's like, yeah. Oh, no, it's a normal price. Yeah, it was like, when she was putting it in, it was like, that sandwich is $40. This sandwich is $40. Yeah. I was like, what? Whoa, airport prices are out of control nowadays. I guess I'm paying it.
Love it. Yeah, that sounded like a cool trip.
It was a great trip. Awesome. And those are just some of the stories. I had so much fun. I definitely recommend taking a responsible yet fun vacation. And going to like those islands was great because a lot of them weren't tourist islands. And we didn't fuck with them either. Like tourists, I'm not saying lots of tourists should go crowd a place that's not used to tourism. But like it was nice to be at a place that wasn't packed with tourists.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It was mostly, we were there actually the 2 week holiday that all Greeks have. That like Greek businesses kind of shut down and they all go for a 2 week holiday. So there were tourists, but they're all Greek. They're all like just people from Athens who were in other islands. Mm-hmm. And it was like totally chill. And everybody was very chill. And it was very cute because a lot of families. It was very fun. And I ate lots of delicious food.
Yeah.
Saw lots of cats. Sunned. I got a tan. Look, my farmer's tan is fairly blended. It's still there.
Oh, that's
but
nice.
It blended a lot better. It was better a few days ago. It's already starting to go away. But it was fun. And it was beautiful. And I recommend vacationing somewhere new and appreciating the culture. Got to walk around the Parthenon.
Oh, Parth.
Whenever you have the chance to go vacation a place where there are very few Americans, you're going to have a better time. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to tell you that. The places that we like to go, overrun. Shitty. The smallest detail in your story reminded me of something that always makes me laugh. I got on this huge kick of foreign movie posters at one point to decorate my apartment. There's a lot of beautiful art and like alt posters that you've never seen, and some of them are hand drawn. So I would spend hours looking through the web, and I found a Spanish poster for the Will Smith movie I, Robot, and the Spanish title is Yo, Robot.
Wow.
It made me laugh so hard. Really, and awesome. I could never find it to buy it. And also, like, I don't care about the movie, and it's not a particularly good looking poster.
Yeah.
But and then there was also Yo, Frankenstein. I break. Oh,
did
God,
you see
so funny.
Will Smith, the clip of him talking about The Matrix?
No.
He talked about how when the Wachowskis came up and pitched it to him, they were like, think of it this way, you jump up to kick. And then you freeze in the air. And there's cameras all around. So like everybody sees your whole body. You're frozen in air for the kick. And then you kick them. And that's sort of like how the movie will work. And he's like, what? So like that, he's like, so you have to understand, that's how it was pitched to me. But at the same time, I would have just ruined the movie. Yeah. Like Keanu Reeves is amazing. And also if they had cast a black Neo, they wouldn't have cast a black Morpheus. And like, it would have ruined. You would have all been pissed because I would have ruined the movie. So it was better how it worked out.
That's fine. I mean,
and
yeah,
I love
that's
that
so
perspective.
Funny. The fact that Will Smith could have been in The Matrix was always one of those crazy Hollywood what ifs. But I think he's right. Yeah. I'm glad that we got Keanu.
Keanu was excellent. All the casting in them. I've seen that movie a lot in the last year because it became like
it's
a
so
comfort
good.
Film
it's
to so watch. Good. It's so good. I watched it on the airplane on the way to Greece. And, it's just such a good movie. Yeah. Such a good movie. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Well, if you're worried that you being cast in a major motion picture might ruin it for future generations to come, you might be looking for some advice.
Mm-hmm.
Advice that'll go for miles.
Mm-hmm.
Dare I say? Let's hit it.
It's advice that'll go for miles. Tune into your radio station. It's advice that'll go for
sometimes
miles. Everyone get ready. Miles Nation.
Runs it off the SD card, but then it's like, well, if I change the SD card,
Miles Nation,
why are you rocking
go.
Like 100
giant DX?
Oh, wait, so
you're
saying
miles.
That the other, you have other sounds loaded in there.
Yeah, but
if
those
I
are built
go 4 miles.
Hmm.
What's up, Miles Nation? How y'all doing tonight?
What's up, Miles Nation?
How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Have you ever wanted to be solid?
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever wanted to...
Is it about eating fiber? Or is it poops? You're talking
make
about poop?
Sure you are coming out in one full piece.
Sounds like it's about having a strong poop. Probably some sort of probiotic or something.
From Thursday to yesterday, I didn't take a single solid shit.
Uh-oh.
little stomach bug.
Why do you think?
It's unclear.
That's why Miles wasn't there when I was touching this dog's balls.
That is correct, because I was in bedridden.
And shitting himself.
And shitting myself.
I hope you got out of the bed.
Honey, but I got a bedpan. No, that's not the advice. I was wondering, because this has never happened to me before, I was having a geyser of hot shit. Sort of.
Oh my God.
it's tough when it's too much even for me.
Now, and I was wondering how to fix it, and I consulted a friend of the show, Will, who deals with that problem quite frequently.
Unfortunately. To have him out in here on the podcast.
Well, I hate to out Will for having diarrhea on the podcast, but he did say he was an expert on it.
Yeah.
And I did two things. Hey, Pepto-Bismol!
Yeah, that'll strengthen it up.
And then I also had I took probiotics. And I'm here to say that this morning, I was regular.
So, I think this is good advice. If you find yourself sick and you have a loose stool, as they might say, Pepto-Bismol is a great choice, but it's not a permanent solution.
No, it's not.
You're not even supposed to eat it 2 days in a row.
Really?
Yeah.
I chugged a whole bottle this morning.
No, you aren't supposed to do it sequential days because that actually can lead to the reverse and giving you diarrhea again. What you really need to do is just make sure your diet has things that have fiber. Bananas are a great quick solution for that. And just
you put
like
a banana in your butt.
But you put a banana in your
butt. And it turns into poop and then it's solid poop.
That's nice.
It sort of osmosises through your body and dries out.
But people, if you look at somebody and you think that they have honor, just a picture of them having diarrhea.
Yeah, everyone has it. Yeah. And it's unfortunate.
You never heard of Imodium? That stops you from pooping altogether
for 3 days.
I know, but I felt like I wanted to. Popping
Imodium and a Viagra for your honeymoon.
We're
ready to party.
Alexandria convinced me to take Imodium the day we did the Korean corn dogs where we ate like cheese and stuff. And all that stuff already would have constipated me.
Oh, no.
So then I was like a brick man for days.
And it's just trapped inside of you.
It was trapped. And it was already something that would have been trapped.
Oh,
so I was just so heavy as a man. And then eventually I wasn't.
But I felt completely depleted and I was like chugging Pedialyte, like trying to get back to zero. And thankfully it's over.
We got to reboot Everybody Poops.
I think that people don't talk about it enough.
It's a great book, but what, you read it once when you're three? I don't remember Jack Dick from when I'm three.
Yeah.
Does anyone have own the rights to that?
That's what I'm saying. We need Lauren Miller to come in and make like a Lego movie. A version that's like great for kids, banger for adults. We gotta get the people talking about poo. It's important.
It is important. I'm just like, it's gonna be so hard to make that a successful box office hit.
I think that people love talking about. Well, I guess people like get grossed out.
It could be a cult classic.
It could be.
You know, The Big Lebowski was critically and commercially panned.
Really?
Yeah.
It's such a fun film.
Hated it.
Do you think Everybody Poops could be the new Big Lebowski?
Call up the Coen brothers. They say they're not making movies together anymore, which is quite sad.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like it should be a bigger deal.
They have a falling out?
Like the rumor.
Wow.
It's all done.
Arguably the greatest living American directors.
Arguably.
I mean, give me one better. Steven Spielberg.
Zack Snyder.
Fuck yeah. Oh, man. I'm so excited for all these films coming out in the next fall and winter. All the Marvel ones that we've started
to
see.
Me too.
I'm excited. We had a bit
of a bummer because Becky invited us all over for Shang-Chi, and turns out we all had the wrong date.
We also thought Eugene, being the famous Asian he is, had a code. He didn't.
Oh, he didn't have a code.
No, we thought he would. He almost always gets for all the Disney things a pre-viewing screener code.
Yeah,
and we thought he did because he always. We just assumed. Yeah. We just assumed.
I'm surprised he hasn't gone to invited to a screening yet, or maybe he has.
I bet he was invited and just was busy, but like. I was like, well, he'll have one. He always has one. And then he didn't. I was like, oops. But it's okay. We'll do it later. And we're going to, it's going to be so much fun. We're going to get some Shanxi Chinese food. We're also going to get some Tokyo Fried Chicken just because we love it. And it's the same drive. So might as well stop by. We're going to have a big, delicious Chinese and also Japanese dinner and celebrate the film.
We always record these ahead of time. So it may be out now.
It might be out.
Oh yeah,
how'd you like it?
I loved
it. The film.
Favorite film of the year.
Wow,
I love The Rings.
Oh,
my favorite ring-related movie since Lord of.
I also watched Two Towers on the plane as well.
One of my favorite Greek films
and Inception.
Inception's great.
It's good for sleeping.
It is good for sleeping. People dump on it, but I think Inception's amazing. Really cool.
It's an incredible
People dump
film.
On it. People dump on it.
People dump on it.
People came out because it was too smart for them.
Did you have any weird dreams after that?
I had all only weird. I exclusively as a person have weird dreams. So it's hard to say if one thing is doing another. All my dreams are chaos.
Yeah.
The other morning woke up. We were out of bananas. I knew that the night before. And then I did that thing where I woke up and I went back to bed and my my mid sleep dream was just furious that we had no bananas. I was just fucking livid.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Okay, well then, bye.
We'll see you next week.
Keith, hit us with the official Tripod theme song.
I swam too deep and I ruined my ear and it sounded really terrible. But I turned it around, turned the frown upside down, and I made it bearable. Is the tripod.